Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Conquer Your Emetophobia Advice from a Therapist Who Overcame the Fear of Vomiting by Anna S. Christie is a self-help and mental health guide focused on emetophobia, the persistent fear of vomiting or being exposed to vomiting. Christie writes from a dual position. She is a registered clinical counselor and emetophobia specialist. And she also describes having lived with severe emetophobia before recovering. The book is designed for readers whose fear has narrowed daily life, including eating, travel, social contact, health decisions, parenting decisions, and tolerance of ordinary bodily sensations. Rather than presenting emetophobia as a rare curiosity or a simple dislike, it treats the condition as an anxiety pattern maintained by avoidance, threat monitoring, safety behaviors, and catastrophic interpretation. Its purpose is practical to help readers understand the phobia, reduce shame, and move through gradual recovery steps. The emphasis is not on instant reassurance but on building capacity to face feared words, sensations, situations, and uncertainty in a structured way. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, emetophobia is explained as a treatable anxiety cycle rather than a personal weakness. A central value of the book is its reframing of emetophobia as a structured anxiety problem with recognizable mechanisms. The fear is not treated as irrational in a dismissive sense. It is presented as a pattern that becomes powerful because the body, attention, and behavior repeatedly respond as if vomiting is an intolerable threat. This matters because many sufferers interpret their reactions as shameful, childish, or uniquely strange. Christie instead places the phobia within a clinical framework in which fear is learned, reinforced, and therefore capable of change. The book highlights how avoidance can provide short-term relief while strengthening the long-term belief that feared situations are unsafe. For example, avoiding restaurants, travel, children, alcohol, pregnancy, or certain foods may reduce immediate distress, but it also prevents corrective experience. The phobia then appears confirmed, because the person never learns that anxiety can rise and fall without catastrophe. This explanation gives readers a practical map. If emetophobia is maintained by threat appraisal and avoidance, recovery requires changing the relationship to those processes, not merely waiting for reassurance or perfect certainty. The book stands apart from many general anxiety manuals because Christie writes as both a clinician and someone who reports full recovery from severe emetophobia. This dual perspective affects the tone and credibility of the guidance. A purely clinical book might describe exposure, cognitive restructuring, and anxiety maintenance accurately, but miss the private logic of emetophobia, the constant scanning for nausea, the fear of losing control, the social embarrassment, and the way ordinary life choices become organized around prevention. A purely personal account might be relatable but less systematic. Christie attempts to bridge those limits by drawing on her therapeutic background and work with many emetophobic clients, while also acknowledging the internal experience of the disorder. This combination supports a practical form of empathy. The book does not simply reassure readers that they are not alone. It explains why common protective strategies can keep the fear active. The author position also helps normalize the possibility of recovery without making recovery sound effortless. Because she presents herself as someone who has moved through the problem rather than merely observed it. The guidance is likely to feel less abstract to readers who have felt misunderstood by broad anxiety advice. Thirdly, gradual exposure begins with feared language and expands toward real-life situations. One of the most concrete elements associated with the book is its gradual approach to exposure. The recovery process is described as beginning with small steps, even something as basic as becoming able to read or say the word vomit with less discomfort. This detail is important because emetophobia often operates through symbolic triggers as well as physical ones. Words, images, sounds, memories, bodily sensations, medical settings, and stories about illness can all become cues for panic. Starting with language shows that exposure does not have to begin with overwhelming real-world situations. Instead, it can be graded so the nervous system has repeated opportunities to experience fear without immediate escape. The reasoning is consistent with cognitive behavioral principles when a person remains with a trigger long enough to learn that anxiety is tolerable and temporary. The trigger gradually loses some of its power. The book therefore treats exposure as skill building rather than punishment. Readers are encouraged to move progressively from lower intensity triggers to broader life situations, reducing the gap between what they fear and what they can actually handle. This stepwise structure is especially relevant for sufferers who have avoided the topic for years. Fourthly, avoidance and safety behaviors are shown as the habits that shrink daily life. The book gives attention to the everyday behavioral costs of emetophobia. In severe cases, the fear can influence diet, social participation, travel, medical care, family planning, and contact with children or ill people. Christie presents these restrictions not simply as inconveniences but as part of the machinery that keeps the phobia alive. Safety behaviors may include checking food obsessively, carrying anti-nausea items, seeking repeated reassurance, monitoring other people for signs of illness, avoiding public transport, or eating only a narrow range of foods. Such actions feel sensible because they appear to reduce risk, yet they often increase dependence on control. The person may conclude that disaster was prevented only because the safety behavior was used, which prevents learning that the feared outcome was unlikely or tolerable. By identifying these habits, the book moves beyond surface fear and addresses the lifestyle architecture around the fear. This is a useful contribution because emetophobia treatment is not only about reducing panic during obvious triggers. It is also about reclaiming ordinary decisions from rules that were created to prevent nausea, contamination, embarrassment, or loss of control. Recovery, therefore, involves loosening the routines that make life smaller. Lastly, recovery is linked to tolerating uncertainty, nausea sensations, and imperfect control. A deeper implication of the book is that emetophobia recovery cannot depend on proving that vomiting will never happen. The feared event is uncommon for many adults, but it remains a normal biological possibility. Because of that, reassurance has limited power. A reader might feel better after being told that food is safe, or that a stomach sensation is harmless, but the mind can quickly generate another what-if. Christie positions recovery as the development of tolerance for uncertainty, bodily discomfort, and ordinary risk. This makes the approach different from simple symptom avoidance. The goal is not to create a life in which every nausea cue is eliminated, because that goal would intensify vigilance. Instead, readers are guided toward changing their response when sensations or possibilities arise. Nausea, stomach awareness, and anxious arousal can be understood as experiences that may be unpleasant without being emergencies. This shift is central because emetophobia often fuses discomfort with danger. By separating sensation from catastrophe, the reader can gradually reduce compulsive monitoring and regain flexibility. The practical benefit is broader than the fear of vomiting itself. It teaches a more resilient way to relate to uncertain bodily states. In conclusion, Conquer Your Emetophobia is best suited for people who experience fear of vomiting as more than an occasional worry, especially readers whose eating, travel, relationships, parenting decisions, social life, or medical choices have been shaped by avoidance. It may also be useful for clinicians, parents, or partners who want a clearer understanding of why the phobia can seem disproportionate from the outside, yet feel completely compelling from the inside. Its practical benefit lies in translating anxiety treatment principles into the specific language of emetophobia. Instead of offering generic advice about staying calm, the book focuses on feared words, nausea sensations, safety behaviors, reassurance seeking, and the gradual expansion of tolerated situations. Its intellectual benefit is the way it makes the disorder understandable as a maintained pattern rather than a mysterious defect. Compared with many anxiety self-help books, it stands out because of its narrow specialization and the author position. Christie brings professional counseling experience together with her own reported recovery from severe emetophobia. That combination gives the book a grounded tone without turning it into a memoir alone. It is not a replacement for individualized therapy in complex or severe cases, but it offers a structured, compassionate entry point for readers ready to examine how fear is maintained and how recovery can proceed step by step. If you would like to support Anna S. Christie, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.